It's wonderful to be with you all this morning. So let me just say good morning and Merry Christmas. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas morning with your families. We were very clear with our daughter that she could not get us up before there was a 7 at the front of the time. And so she waited as long as she could. But just it's great to be with you all here today. So would you please join me in prayer? Holy Lord, we just thank you so much that we have a reason to worship because of your great love. And it's just such a joy to celebrate the birth of your Son, that amazing show of love that you would come down here to not just be with us, but to be one with us. And so, God, in the midst of the holiday craziness, we give this time to you. And we pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and touch our minds so that not just on Christmas, but every day of the year, we celebrate the gift of your love. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, through the weeks of Advent leading up to Christmas, Pastor Rich preached a sermon series called Journeys. And specifically, he took you through the different journeys of the different people involved in the Christmas story. We had Mary's journey to sanctuary as she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth after she became pregnant. Joseph's journey through difficulty as he did the unexpected and took Mary as his wife when he found out that she was pregnant. The shepherd's journey of celebration as they ran through Bethlehem, telling everyone they could find that the Savior has been born. The wise men's journey toward truth as they followed God's star to meet and worship this new king. And on Christmas Eve, we celebrated God's journey from heaven to earth as he was born as the baby Jesus. Well, today we're going to finish up this series as we focus on the journeys of those who came way after the birth of Jesus. Today we're going to focus on our journey with the Lord. And the sermon title for today is Journey Together. And our lesson point for the morning is the Lord journeys with us through his Spirit and through his people. So this is what we're going to talk about today. While I was in seminary over in Berkeley, during the summers, I worked at a local Boy Scout camp located in the Santa Cruz Mountains. I was their aquatics director and chaplain, and this particular camp had a tradition known as the solo hike. It was something chosen for the staff to do. So a staff person would be chosen to do the solo hike, and they would be given a backpack, a sleeping bag, and a map, which would lead them to the solo hiker's campfire ring. And so the solo hiker would make their way to the campfire ring, hopefully be able to light the campfire, and then spend the night by themselves out in the woods. No tent, just a sleeping bag. Now, in theory, it was an honor to be chosen for the solo hike. And I did my best for 3 summers to avoid being given this honor. But my 3rd summer there, I was chosen to do the solo hike, and there was no way I was going to back down in front of all those boys. So they gave me my backpack, and my sleeping bag, and my map. And the first part was easy. After working 3 summers with the scouts, I knew how to, make my way to the campfire ring and start a campfire. And then it got dark. I hate the dark. I'm terrified of the dark. I don't like being alone in the dark. I especially don't like being alone in the woods at night when it's dark. When I was a kid, I watched a lot of horror movies, and nothing good ever happens when there's a woman alone in the dark in the woods in a horror movie. It was my pride that kept me there that night. We live in a world where it's basically an honor to go through things alone. In fact, that's often our definition of strength, that someone doesn't need any help, that they made it on their own, that they can do it by themselves. Whereas asking for help or needing help is often viewed as weakness and a lack of strength. But in reality, we've got it all wrong. We were never meant to go through this life, to go through our journeys on our own. We were created to journey through life together. Our life was not meant to be done like a solo hike. We were created to go through life in community, to do our journey in community with each other and in community with our Lord. I believe we were created to both help each other, but also to need each other. Just like we were created to love the Lord and to accept God's guidance and love ourselves. We were created to go on this journey together. And so that's why today we're going to talk about the Lord journeys with us through his Spirit and through his people. Excuse me. I still have a little Christmas sniffle, so there we go. Our scripture today is one of my favorites. It's Psalm 139. And like most of the Psalms, it was written by King David. And if you're not familiar with King David, he's the David of David and Goliath. David was not just a powerful king, but he was like an actual warrior. Like he was a fierce fighter in the army. And he would be the kind that you would look at and think he could do it on his own. He wouldn't need to ask for help. But as you read through the Psalms, you see that King David relied heavily on God's help. He relied heavily on God's strength. In the Psalms, it's just about equal amounts that David praises God and also asks God for assistance. Though this is one of my favorite Psalms, but there's a part near the end that seems to kind of come out of nowhere. And it's important for us to remember that David wrote this Psalm. He was a king who was at war. He was always being attacked by his neighbors, and so that's when we get to that part, it'll make a little more sense there. So please open up your Bibles to Psalm 139. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there are plenty on the back table, so feel free to get up and get one. Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The psalm is a beautiful reminder that God is always with us. It doesn't matter where we go. It doesn't matter where we end up. There is nowhere and nothing that can separate us from God's presence in our lives. We are never truly alone. The Lord journeys with us through his Spirit and through his people. And so first, we're going to look at how God journeys with us through his Spirit. Those of you who have children, do you remember the feeling of terror and incompetence when you were finally left alone with your firstborn? after our son Jason was born, my parents came down for a while to help, which was great because they were the experts. You know, they knew how to do this. And then they went home. And I was like, wait, I have no idea what I'm doing. Jesus, when he came, he didn't just come and help out for a while and then leave us on our own. Jesus was born, and God came to earth in human form. Jesus taught the people about God's love through his words and, most importantly, through his example. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and when God raised him 3 days later, the Lord's power over sin and death was revealed. Through his blood, Jesus created a path for all people to be a part of God's family forever. And with an extra show of love, when Jesus went back up into heaven, he didn't just leave us on our own to muddle our way through. Jesus didn't just come down to help and then abandon us. While Jesus was trying to prepare his disciples for his death and resurrection, he gave this promise: I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. When we accept Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and Savior, we receive the gift of grace, we receive the gift of eternal life, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is all the power and love and grace of God living in us. The Lord journeys with us through his Spirit. In fact, one of my very favorite Bible verses is about the Holy Spirit. This is a verse that I have kept in my heart and my mind, and I have clung to this verse in hard times more times than I can count. It's Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. There are times in our life journeys that are so filled with grief, are so filled with stress and worry and darkness, that even the action of forming the words for a prayer is too overwhelming. And so what this promise says is that the Spirit knows what we need. And in those darkest times when we can't even get the words out ourselves, the Spirit intercedes and prays for us. Many of you are aware, because you've been praying for me, that until recently, I've been dealing with horrible headaches. Thankfully, through a mix of physical therapy and magnesium and prayer, I'm doing much better now. But, you know, up until October of this year, I'd never really had headaches. I'd get like one or two a year, nothing that Advil and a nap, you know, couldn't knock out. But in October, I came down with a migraine that lasted for 10 weeks. I never even had a migraine before, and it was debilitating, and it never let up for 10 weeks. And it didn't matter what we tried or what we did. And so there were many times in those 10 weeks when I would be lying in my dark, quiet room because I couldn't handle light or sound. The only prayer that I could pray was, God, please help me. Because it just hurt, it physically hurt to try to think of the words to pray. And that's when this verse became so important to me, because I knew that I could just pray, God, please help me. And the Holy Spirit would finish that prayer for me. The Holy Spirit knew my pain, and the Holy Spirit interceded for me to God. But it was because I had this verse in my heart and I clung to it for all those weeks. The Lord is with us in our journeys through the highs and the lows. Wherever we end up, the power and love of God is there with us through the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is there to guide us, to instruct us, sometimes to give us a kick in the pants, and also there to comfort us in our times of need. And, you know, the holidays, there's a lot of joy, but it's also a time that can just bring on a lot of pain. And so if you are in a dark or confusing place yourself right now, I can tell you from experience that you are not alone. And even if you don't know how to pray, or you just can't even function enough to get the words together to make a prayer, I just encourage you to remember this promise and just pray, God, please help me. Because for me, just taking that first step and God, please help me went so far in reminding me I am not alone. The Holy Spirit is there with me, and the Holy Spirit is praying for me right now because I cannot do it myself. We don't have to go through life's journey alone, and we weren't created to. The Lord journeys with us through His Spirit and through His people. So we've talked about a little how the Lord journeys with us through His Spirit, and now we're going to move on to how the Lord journeys with us through His people. I'm guessing, looking out, I know a lot of you, and knowing you and knowing myself, I'm guessing a lot of us are much better at offering help and giving help than we are at asking for help and receiving help. When I was a kid, my favorite mantra was, I can do it myself. I don't need help. I can do it myself. And that was a point of pride for me growing up, that not only did I want to prove that I could do whatever I put my mind to, I wanted to do it by myself without any help. And now I have a 10-year-old daughter who doesn't want any help because she can do it herself. She gets that from her father. She doesn't get it from me. I love it when you go out to eat, you can tell which children dress themselves. Right? You got the girl dressed like Tinkerbell, you know, in a tiara, or the boys dressed like Buzz Lightyear because it's Tuesday. You know, their shirts are on backward, their shoes are on the wrong feet. And for children, it's cute and it's natural for them to develop that independence and want to do things by themselves. But the damage comes when we never outgrow this insistence on doing things by ourselves. And that was a realization for me, because for most of my life, a big source of pride for me was not needing help, being able to do it on my own. I love helping other people, unless I was desperate, I would not ask for help. Now, we're pretty sure this whole migraine thing that happened to me in October was brought on by stress. But it just started to dawn on me that related to that was the stress was brought on by my refusal to even ask for help. My husband and I have 2 kids, 2 full-time jobs. So, you know, life is busy. You know, that's the way it is. You got carpools, you got music lessons, you got sports games, you got homework every night. Plus, you know, if you want to feed them and put them in clean clothes, you got to take care of that stuff. And it's busy, but John and I had a pretty good rhythm. We had things pretty much balanced out, and then John got an opportunity to try something new at work. And so we talked it over because we knew it was going to be like him having 2 full-time jobs, and he was just not going to be around for a while. And we talked it out, and we decided, you know, he should try this out. It could be a great opportunity. So all of a sudden, he just wasn't home. I mean, he was leaving while it was still dark in the morning, and he was coming home late, which meant everything else fell to me. So did I ask for help? No. Did I cut anything out? No. Did I work myself into the ground? Yeah. And you'd think I would have learned my lesson from this when the migraine hit, but it didn't dawn on me that what was going on was linked to my refusal to ask for help until about 3 weeks into the migraine. And it was a very little, just a very silly thing that finally opened my eyes. We have these Santa Clara First Baptist t-shirts. I ordered a new batch of them. And right before the migraine hit, they were ready for pickup. But for 3 weeks, they never got picked up because I was unable to drive. And so I kept thinking, how are these ever going to get picked up because I can't go get them? And then it was like a light bulb. I could ask somebody else to go. It was like this huge revelation that other people can drive. Other people can help. What is it about us that makes it so hard for us to ask for help? Why are we so insistent on doing things on our own to the point that we're willing even to suffer or to injure ourselves just to prove we can do it ourselves? But we were created to help each other and to need each other. We were created to lean on each other in those times of weakness. And Jesus himself modeled this. Jesus surrounded himself with his disciples. I mean, the Lord could have done all this work on his own. He didn't need the people, but that's not the example he wanted to set. He created us to need each other and to go on this journey together, and so that's what he modeled for us. Matthew 18:20 is very profound. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. We were created and meant to go through life together. And the Lord journeys with us through his Spirit and through his people. Now, next month in January, we are going to be doing promotions and sign-ups for our next trimester for life groups. Life groups are one of the best and easiest ways to find community, to build those relationships, and to journey with others the way we were created to do. If you are not in a life group, you're missing out on one of the most important parts of what it means to be a follower of Christ, because our faith journey is not meant to be a solo hike. And I can tell you from experience that we injure ourselves. We do more damage to ourselves when we insist on doing it alone. So I want to encourage all of you, give it a try. Sign up for a life group. Make new friends. Meet new people. Allow others to journey with you. And I'm going to be leading a life group, so you're especially going to be wanting to look for that one. I'm going to leave you with one final thought. One final thought for the morning. God is good. Amen? Amen. There are no circumstances in life that can change the simple fact that God is good. No matter what happens to us or around us, God is good. And it's often in the midst of our struggles and in the midst of that darkness that we experience this truth most clearly. Because life, the things of this world can be taken from us. Our health can be taken from us. Possessions can be taken from us. The people we love can be taken from us. But nothing can take away God's love for you. Nothing can take away the truth that God is good. And he has a plan for us in this life, and he's preparing a place for us with him in heaven for the next life. Whatever highs and lows our journeys take us through, the fact remains that God is good, and this journey will ultimately lead us home. Romans 8:31 through 39. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please join me in prayer. Holy God, you are good. And as we struggle through our life journey, the promise of your goodness is often all we have to cling to. And we thank you, God, that we are never alone. You didn't just come and help and leave. You stayed. Thank you, God, for your Spirit. Your Spirit that walks with us and intercedes for us when we can't find the words ourselves to pray. And we thank you for your people. So many of us, God, willing to reach out and help, and so few of us willing to ask for that help. So we pray that you would soften our pride and open our eyes to the truth that we need each other. Most of all, God, we thank you that whatever happens in this life, nothing can separate us from your love. Nothing can change the fact that you are good, that right now you are preparing a place for us in heaven, and that wherever our journey on earth takes us, ultimately, it will lead us to our heavenly home, where we will be in the presence of your love forever. Because of that, we always have a reason to worship and to give you praise. In your name, amen.